Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Kev, happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Love a good Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to you, everybody watching, listening, excited to be here. A lot to get to. There are some things left on the cutting room floor for the headlines. Excited to get into it.
Yes, for sure. Let's start with our 7-7 top headlines. The NFL draft starts tomorrow. Now, the Patriots and Panthers have talked about a draft day trade, with reports saying the groundwork is already done for the Patriots that could possibly trade up for that number 8 pick that the Panthers currently hold. Now, if the Panthers do not want to draft a quarterback in this year's, you know, loaded QB class, it does make sense to trade with the Patriots in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely agree there. It is interesting, though, that does that then tip the hand that the Panthers don't want to take a quarterback in this class if the framework is already done? Also, this certainly would impact, say, Justin Fields, whose draft position now is 7.5, even money to the over. A lot of interesting tea leaves that we're trying to read as we're getting closer to the draft.
Yeah, and a lot of rumors starting to heat up, running back being one of those. But now, Bama's Najee Harris, Clemson's Travis Etienne, UNC's Javonte Williams are considered to be the team's top three selections. But on draft day, anything can happen, Kev.
I mean, this is incredible, though, because Najee Harris maybe goes in the top 20. People think Travis Etienne's the best in the class. And then, oh, by the way, Javonte Williams out of UNC, maybe we'll hear his name in round one, too. Are running backs back? Could three running backs go in round number one? There's a lot of different things now heating up with these RBs. And if all of a sudden there's three of them that go in round number one, well, that'll mess up a lot of those over-under total position bets in that first round.
Yep, and we're going to bring on Joe Lisi in this hour to talk more about some NFL draft rumors. Let's switch it over to the NBA. Mavericks absolutely crushed the Warriors, 133-103. Mavs going to 28-0 run. Luka Doncic, 39 points. Mavs covering the overhit. Statement win for the Mavs, who were on a back-to-back.
Yeah, look, you know what? Sometimes you predict that a line is going to flip, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work out, because Golden State pretty quickly became the favorite, and boy, that didn't help at all. They lost the first quarter by 24, and things did not get better. They lost the game by 30. Luka was exquisite in this game. 39, 8, and 6. A plus 29 for this game. Great win for the Mavericks. The Warriors drop back now into that 10th spot in the Western Conference, so tough sledding for the Dubs.
Yeah, and Kevin and I are going to break down the games that happened last night in our upcoming segment, so make sure you stay with us. Also, we have a big game on the board today, Suns-Clippers. It's a showdown that you don't want to miss. The Staples Center. Kawhi is doubtful to play in this game, but of course, these two teams are going to contend for that number two spot in the Western Conference standings. Kevin and I again break down this matchup in the second hour of the show.
Yeah, absolutely, but it is a big matchup. You know, typically the previews don't hit the headlines, but the winner of this, you'll start to feel pretty good about being able to get that two spot. Phoenix finally coming back to the West Coast after a long, long East Coast trip. And even the fact that we heard Kawhi doubtful. We hadn't really been given any news around Kawhi Leonard. It shows the importance of this game that we're even getting updates about whether he may or may not be available.
Yeah, and if he is going to become available, this would be the game that I think would make the most sense for him to be back in, just given how important it is in terms of standing. So quickly want to welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines. Let's switch it to the field. Blue Jays, Vladdy Jr. blasts 3 home runs against the Nationals. At the age of 22, he has become the youngest player to hit 3 home runs and log 7 RBI in one game, setting a Major League Baseball record.
Stud, star, goodness gracious. I mean, Vladdy Jr. is wonderful. 3 homers, 7 RBIs. I mean, this is a game that Mad Max started. Max Scherzer was the opposing pitcher, not for every single one of the home runs, but all in all, what a star performance for, as you said, a 22-year-old. It's why people are excited about what the Blue Jays can be, not just in the future, but maybe even this year. One of the best single-game performances, yeah, maybe the best that we've seen this season.
And he just turned 22 last month. Also in Major League Baseball, Corey Kluber got his first win on the mound in 2 years and first win in Yankees uniform. Kluber, 5 strikeouts, 6 hits in a little over 6 innings pitched. New York hit 3 home runs in a 5-1 win over the Orioles.
They certainly did, and for Kluber, obviously feels great to get back into the win column. The Yankees looking for that other starter that's not named Garrett Cole, because they know Big 4-5 is going to get the job done every fifth day. Corey Kluber certainly his best work in a Yankees uniform. Only the 1 earned run. 6 hits, you'd maybe like it a little bit less, but still almost went 7 innings in this game. Impressive stuff from Kluber, a deserving winner in this game.
Yes, and yesterday on Twitter, something broke, and I was a little surprised by this. Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul. This was officially announced this fight will be fought on Sunday, June 6th at the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, Florida. No odds posted just yet on the FanDuel Sportsbook, but I'm interested to see where they decide to handicap this game.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I don't know. I have thought that this would never happen for so long. I know people probably felt this way when Floyd fought Connor. I think this is a whole nother level of ridiculousness. They really can't make Floyd a big enough favorite, though, against Logan Paul. But people are going to bet and watch that fight.
And so this year on The Early Line, coming up next, we're going to recap some NBA. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to all our viewers and listeners. You're tuning into The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Time to get to some NBA recap. So favorites last night went 4-2 straight up and against the spread, with only upsets by the Thunder and the Mavericks. Over-under split 3-3. So let's start off, Kev, by the Bucks and the Hornets. Milwaukee wins 114-104. They cover the spread by 1 point. Now, 5 Milwaukee players were in double digits. They held the Hornets to just 17 points in that second quarter. And the Bucks just kept on rolling. Like I mentioned, they covered that 1 point and the under hits in this one. Just want to also note the under is 20-7 in the Hornets' last 27 games overall. And the under is 5-1 in the Bucks' last 6 road games. So something to keep in mind. Giannis having a double-double. Drew Holiday also posting a double-double. Milwaukee shot 9 of 35 from beyond the three-point line. So not great for them. But overall, they get the win and they get the cover. So I can't really, you know, talk some smack on them this morning.
Well, great stats there on the unders with these two clubs right now. Giannis arguably robbed of a hero tonight. Spoiler, it's not Giannis, but he made the final 2 free throws that allowed them to cover this number. And he went 5 for 5 for the game. Giannis 100% from the line is not something that we usually see from him, but 29 points, 12 boards, 8 assists, great work from him. The interesting thing, though, about this game is that the Bucks, the blowout was on. They were laying 17.5 points at the half of this basketball game. The Hornets had cut this all the way down to 4 with just a couple of minutes to go. ultimately, they then struggle to kind of score in the crunch. I'm sure that they are very excited at some point to see LaMelo Ball rejoin this team, but it was another game where I was like, are they really going to blow this? Like, are the Bucks going to blow another game? They didn't. They extended it. They covered. All in all, you know, a good result, I guess, for the Bucks. It allows them to somewhat keep pace with Brooklyn and Philadelphia. But, boy, Milwaukee feels stuck in that three hole.
Yes, no, they definitely do. I know we were talking about they could potentially get that number one spot, but as you mentioned, it seems like they're kind of on an island by themselves. Now, also last night, a very surprising result. The Thunder beat the Celtics 119 to 115. Obviously, that's a surprise there, but just want to mention Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum were not in this game. But the Thunder surprised the Celtics, put an end to their 14-game losing streak. Lou Dort scored 24 points. OKC, though, hurt Boston's playoff position, and OKC also avoided setting a franchise record for consecutive losses. Right now in the NBA standings, you have the Celtics in that number six spot, now tied with the Heat, who sit in number seven.
Streets are buzzing. Rumors have it Celtics not allowed to be in the playoffs because they lost at home to the Thunder. Right? Is that the rules?
Crossed them off my list. You know they're in my Eastern Conference with a line through them, and this is why.
Absolutely. Rightfully so. I tell you, that the accuracy of the EKD list is impeccable. Here's the weird thing with this game, though, is even as awful as the Thunder are, I don't feel like there was anybody out there that was looking to, like, double digits with Boston in this game against the Thunder. Like, it seemed like everybody, even those that are, like, writing off the Thunder, was like, are we sure the Celts, no Tatum, no Kemba, should have been, like, double digits? Yesterday morning, you and I were getting ready to preview this game, and you were like, hey, I saw Tatum and Kemba's out, but, like, did I read that wrong? I'm like, no, I don't think so. Like, because
the
number
the double
just
digits was
didn't
confusing.
Make sense. Absolutely.
I agree with you.
Like, and look, it's never that easy. Sometimes, you know, it goes the other way. But, boy, is that really odd that they were laying that many – the Celtics, their biggest lead of this game was 3. I mean, if you took double digits with Oklahoma City Thunder, you didn't sweat this game out not one time. At any point were you in danger of not covering and cashing that ticket? Credit to those that, you know, maybe took a swing on a money line play there, saying that that's where the value was. Kudos to you. But wow, really, especially, you know, now knowing the result, I cannot believe that the Celtics lay double digits without Tatum and Kemba Walker to any team.
I agree with you. And Jaylen Brown had 39 points, 11 boards. That was enough. Peyton Pritchard helped him with 28 points. But again, it just wasn't enough without Walker and Tatum on the floor. Just want to mention the Celtics are 1-4-1 against the spread in their last six games versus a team with a losing straight up record, which is interesting. They play well. They do not play well, excuse me, against teams that aren't great. Just something to keep in mind. Also last night with the Nets versus the Raptors, Nets win 116-103. They cover the 6 points there. Kevin Durant and the Nets just completely clinched that playoff berth there. Kevin Durant scores 7 of his 17 points in the fourth quarter, and Brooklyn uses a 16-2 run to beat Toronto. And as I mentioned, lock up that playoff berth.
Yeah, look, for Brooklyn still keeping pace in front of the Sixers for that number one overall spot. Raptors will be pretty disappointed, though, in themselves there to go ice cold in that fourth quarter. Only scored 20 against this Brooklyn Nets team. You expect much better, at least to be out there for their offensive options. And this is a team that is still trying to compete, whether, you know, their record suggests or the, you know, how often people are available for them would suggest. But they're still trying to compete for that 10 spot. Again, you credit the Brooklyn Nets. They get the job done here. Kyrie Irving, awful, 3 of 13, 9 points. No problem. Every other player that logged a minute overall, it was 8 total guys, scored double digits outside of Kyrie Irving, which is incredible. So, again, Brooklyn getting contributions from their other players there. Look, if they get that one seed, that will really, really be important for them.
Yes, it will. Also last night, the Trailblazers winning 133-112 over the Pacers. Now, the Trailblazers end their five-game losing slide, which is important, especially in terms of the standings. Blazers cover and the overhits, but right now the Trailblazers just one game behind the Mavs and could potentially flip with them for that number six spot and not have to play in the play-in.
Yeah, you know, for Portland, of course, you're really happy to get a result like this. They win the game by 21. They lost the fourth quarter by 14. I mean, this was an absolute blowout, start to finish, from the Portland Trailblazers. Well, not start to finish. They actually lost the first quarter, but you get the point. I mean, they were in control of this game during that second quarter and really did not look back. All in all, I look at this game, not that I want to overlook what the Blazers were able to do, but I look at this Pacers team, and, I mean, they just feel irrelevant, which is odd because they're not. They're a playoff team. We know they're a playoff team. They're expected to not just, you know, be in the playoffs, which, you know, they're going to be in that 9 spot, but they're supposed to win the 9-10, and then a lot of people believe beat whoever loses in that 7-8 game. Like, that's the way the Pacers are viewed. The Miles Turner injury very likely could sideline him even for the play-in game. I know they don't have Sabonis. You know, we kind of swept under the rug that TJ Warren isn't going to come back for this Pacers team. They're just in such an odd position where they lose, it doesn't matter. They win, it doesn't matter. They're just kind of floating in that 9 spot, and it's just a bunch of whatever with this Indiana team. Really, really odd stuff from them.
Yeah, and I feel like I get that vibe with them as well, and it's been kind of hard to bet on them because you don't really know how they're going to come out and play. There's really no consistency with that team. And speaking of how you talked about irrelevancy, we had the Timberwolves versus the Rockets. Minnesota wins 114-107. Minnesota, of course, extending their win streak to 3 games after 2 straight wins over the Jazz. Now the Rockets, now without Townsend in this game at the point of Minnesota closing out the game on a 12-5 run. He did end with 31 points before that run, but Minnesota did cover this one and the under hits.
And the T-Wolves almost blew this game, so it was really interesting. They came out, established themselves early, you know, near double-digit lead within that first half, and it's like, okay, see, this is what we thought. Minnesota was here. They then blew the lead in the third quarter. They come back. They get the job done. I know it's the Rockets. I still think against the number, Minnesota can be a play-on team from now until we finish up this regular season.
Yeah, and Minnesota won in Houston for the first time since 2012. Just want to mention the Rockets have lost 5 straight and 10 of their last 11. They're 4-37 since February 4th. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line for Kevin Walsh. I'm Erin Dolan. We wanted to talk about in this segment the NFL draft. Of course, that's happening tomorrow, so we wanted to talk about some of the rumors that we are hearing. Now, the Miami Dolphins are an intriguing team this year. They originally held the number 3 overall pick and then dropped down to number 12, have since traded back up to number 6, Miami going 10-6 last season. So right now we're hearing Jalen Waddle might be ahead of Ja'Marr Chase for Miami, but right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, as we've been talking about all week, you can draw certain conclusions from different markets. Now, right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, you can bet on the position for the first drafted player depending upon the team, and right now the Dolphins have the wide receiver at minus 125 and the tight end behind them at plus 280. Kev, let's talk about this rumor.
Yeah, so there's a lot here when it comes to this, right? And there's so many different markets that play a role. The one I want to start with before the Miami drafting the wide receiver, though, is just first wide receiver drafted, in which Ja'Marr Chase is a minus 950 favorite, and Jalen Waddle is plus 850. This market completely unchanged after this Jalen Waddle rumor hits. And that is a little surprising to me. But perhaps where the disconnect is for myself to the markets and those playing it is the thought that Ja'Marr Chase will be off the board by the time the Dolphins pick at 6. There's still a lot of people that believe Ja'Marr Chase might be the pick for the Cincinnati Bengals at 5th overall. I disagree. I think it's going to be Penei Sewell. And yesterday we heard that the Dolphins are going to consider Penei Sewell, but I really do believe that Jalen Waddle or Devonta Smith has a better chance to go to the Miami Dolphins at six than Ja'Marr Chase. The reason people believe Ja'Marr Chase is going to go five to the Bengals is because he and Joe Burrow played together at LSU. That same logic then would give Jalen Waddle or Devonta Smith a leg up over Ja'Marr Chase as it pertains to the Miami Dolphins because of the fact that Tua played with both of those guys at Alabama. So I look at the odds to be the first wide receiver drafted, Aaron, and it would not surprise me if Waddle or Smith pulled the upset in this market.
And I feel like we just keep equating Waddle to Smith. No one knows which one they want to draft first. I feel like in terms of all the odds, they're right there with each other neck and neck. But another rumor, of course, that we even mentioned in our top headline was the running back rumors. We have Bama's Najee Harris, who is the favorite right now in the first running back to be selected overall. Then you have Clemson's Travis Etienne and UNC's Javonte Williams, considered to be the team's top three selections in a lot of organizations. But on draft day, like I mentioned in their top headlines, anything can happen. So how do you take this rumor and equate it to the odds boards?
Great question. That's what we're trying to do, right, with all these rumors. So unfortunately, the total running backs market has stayed at half a running back. And I think a lot of that has to do with the way we've seen running backs treated in the draft in recent years. Last year, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the only round one running back, and he went at the last pick of round number one. So this year, it's stuck at over half a running back drafted. It's minus 360. It's a number that is so heavily juiced, I think a lot of people will probably stand back. The thing is, boy, am I, and I've wanted this for a while, I want over 1.5 running backs drafted in round number one because I really do expect Najee Harris to come off of the board, and I think there's a good chance that Travis Etienne follows, and it does appear that Javonte Williams has a chance as well. The other pivot that we can make as far as the running backs, though, coming off of the board, Aaron, if three of these running backs come off the board in round number one, other positions then have to take a hit when it comes to their total of the position being drafted. Could it be wide receiver? Could it be offensive line? Maybe that's part of the reason why people aren't expecting that sixth quarterback. But there's only 32 available slots in round number one. If three of them are occupied by running backs, other positions will have to take the hit.
Yeah, and considering that you can bet on the totals for these players, for these teams and things like that, the one thing that's interesting is we have the list of who's going 1 to 32. But during the draft, a lot of things can happen and teams can trade up. How many teams, Kevin, do you expect on a draft night to potentially move up and your bet, for some reason, would not obviously hit because those teams are trading?
Well, so the trades, of course, are it's very fluid, right? It's what makes this so difficult. I think if you look at that Justin Fields over-under, you get an idea that perhaps that seven spot with the Detroit Lions is a trigger point for trades because we still don't really think the Lions will take a quarterback. There's a chance. Nobody believes in Jared Goff enough to say definitively that they won't be taking a quarterback at that spot, Aaron. But I think there's a world in which maybe a New England Patriots team could come up to seven. I know we've already heard rumors that perhaps they'll make the move at eight. Maybe Denver wants to make a slight move from 9 to 7. Maybe a team knows that the Patriots have a deal done with the 8th pick, all of a sudden gives leverage to the Lions at 7. And maybe a team, whomever you think wants to come up for quarterback, Bears, Washington football team, all of a sudden now has the idea we must get to 7. And I think that's where you have to try to understand these trade rumors, who's willing to go back and who's willing to go forward.
And I also wanted to mention with Jason Lockenfor tweeting out that he's expecting that a trade will happen this weekend with Jimmy G. How much could this impact the odds?
Well, I still think that this then does have an effect with some of these quarterbacks, right? Your over-unders for Kellen Mond and Davis Mills and Kyle Trask, because now if a team was looking to add one of those guys, well, perhaps they don't have that pick anymore. They send it out and they bring Jimmy Garoppolo into their room. But the most the most immediate team where we could see that, because those are late round guys, is there a world in which the Patriots on the phone with a Lions, a Panthers, and they go, you know what? We're good. Jimmy Garoppolo, come home. That's the quarterback that Bill always believed in, and it's going to come at a cheaper price, no doubt about it, than going from 15 into the top 10 would. And maybe that's where we see Jimmy Garoppolo make an impact on this draft by being traded back to the New England Patriots from the Niners. I think that is a really interesting potential outcome.
Yeah, and obviously I feel like Bill Belichick's just lurking. We're not sure what he's going to do. Having a solid quarterback is what he needs, somebody that he can build up like he did with Tom Brady. But, I mean, obviously we know Brady didn't go in the first round, so you never know who Bill Belichick is going to have his eye on. It makes a lot of sense for Jimmy G to come back, but I also feel like that doesn't solve the solution for the Patriots. It makes sense for sure. I think I'm still just a little overwhelmed that they chose to go with Cam Newton once again. I thought they would have been done with that, maybe traded for Jimmy G. We had talked about that months ago, of course, but it is going to be interesting to see what the Patriots do in this draft. Also want to talk about the Eagles, our favorite team, linked to Michigan's Quiddipay, and reports saying it's possible he could be their number 12 overall pick. He's plus 500 to be the first player drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles on the FanDuel Sportsbook, but also right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, you can look at the position of the Philadelphia Eagles' first draft player, and that doesn't really correlate to Quiddipay, so that's something to keep in mind, because obviously these markets, as we've been talking about, have been semi-correlated. Right now we have cornerback plus 130, wide receiver plus 155, offensive lineman plus 650, defensive lineman 13-1, quarterback also at 13-1.
Okay, so what Aaron just did there is the absolute best. That it is
oh,
the
Kevin,
best way to... No, listen, though, but that is what we are trying to do when it comes to these markets here. So you could bet Quiddipay to be the Eagles' first pick at 5-1. Or you could bet defensive linemen at 13-1. If they take Quiddipay, you're almost tripling your payout. But also, if they take any other defensive lineman, any other one, if they're linked to Quiddipay, clearly defensive line is an option, you also win that money. If Quiddipay is 5-1, defensive line has to be significantly lower. It is an inefficiency in the market. You are getting undeniable value, because I can show you what they think the odds are for them to take Quiddipay. You are getting undeniable value by taking defensive lineman 13-1, position of the Eagles' first drafted player.
So what do you think in terms of, let's say you're just looking at this board and you're thinking about, okay, cornerback plus 130, would you rather just take J.C. Horn at plus 280 then? Just take whatever market you believe has the bigger value there?
Yeah, because now Patrick Surtain could be an option for them as well. It depends, how confident are you that Surtain's going to be off the board? The interesting thing with the corners, as of course Surtain is someone that people believe will go in the top 10, but J.C. Horn is getting a lot of love. Both of those guys could be off the board by the time the Eagles get on the clock at 12. The other thing is the Eagles are a big trade down rumor team. A lot of folks don't think the Birds are going to sit there and select at 12. And if they don't, I mean, that makes Quiddipay all the more likely, because your J.C. Horns, Jalen Waddles, Devontae Smith, Surtains are supposed to be off the board, maybe within the top 10, top 12, certainly top 15, if that's where the Eagles are going to trade back to. So you have to try to play around, of course, your confidence in who's actually going to be there at 12 plays a huge role in this market.
And I think it's going to be interesting to see where Devonta Smith or Jalen Waddle go, just because for the Giants, they have Devonta Smith plus 230, Jalen Waddle plus 470. But then when you look in the Eagles market, those two are both plus 430. So they, in every market, are right around each other. Stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next, we're bringing on Joe Lisi to talk more about the NFL draft. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. We're bringing on SportsGrid's own Joe Lisi to talk more about the NFL Draft. Joe, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, the calm before the storm, right? Tomorrow night, things really get hot and heavy, so we'll see how it plays out at around 8 p.m., guys.
Yeah, so right off the bat, just wanted to ask you the best betting strategy for this year's NFL Draft.
Well, I mean, I think you have to look at certain players that you feel could either go over or under their totals. One of those players for me is Kyle Pitts. I mean, 5.5. We talked about his production in terms of Florida. Understand that he's a generational type of talent. But to, you know, put a top five pick on this kid, to me, and make him the highest drafted tight end in the history of the NFL seems very heavy to me. So I went over his total, it juiced at plus 136. And they jumped it out now at plus 156 on FanDuel. So that's an area where I think you can get some value on Kyle Pitts. And then I'm under on Jaylen Waddle. Under the 11.5, I think his type of playmaking ability, I think a team will reach up and grab him within the top 10.
And Joe, we heard some interesting rumors about Jaylen Waddle yesterday that your Miami Dolphins might prefer Waddle over Ja'Marr Chase. This didn't surprise me too much because the Tua-Bama connection, in the same way Burrow and Chase have that connection possibly for Cincinnati. What do you make of the Dolphins at 6? Because they seem to be the team that maybe has the most options when it not only comes to who they could take, but trading out of that 6 spot.
Yeah, great point, Kevin. I mean, it really will be interesting to see what Chris Greer and Brian Flores do with the 6 overall pick. I think the safest overall pick is to take an explosive wide receiver. I think that, you know, Tua needs playmakers around him. They need the ability to stretch defenses vertically, whether it be Ja'Marr Chase or whether it be Jaylen Waddle. Both of those players give Tua those type of options. If they take an offensive lineman like I'm hearing, Penei Sewell, that's the safer pick. But then that really makes that 18th pick later in the draft more critical, that the Dolphins need a running back or another wide receiver to play to help out that offense. So we'll see how it plays out. I don't have a problem with Waddle. I think if they go offensive lineman with Penei Sewell, it's safe on paper, but that'll be a concern for me being a Dolphin fan.
And Joe, over the last couple of weeks, there's been so many rumors surrounding the 49ers and who they're going to take with that number 3 overall pick. Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, it obviously looks like Mac Jones. You have him at minus 320, Trey Lance at plus 340. But now there's been rumors that Jimmy G might be traded over the weekend. Do you see that happening? And could that potentially mean that Mac Jones is your starter?
Yeah, that's a great point too, Aaron, because if Jimmy G does get traded, you're going to need a player that can come in, plug and play immediately. And I think the only player that fits that mold is Mac Jones. You know, completed 77% of his passes, stepped up, won a national championship, just like Joe Burrow. He's a smart quarterback, doesn't turn the football over in critical situations. And on a big stage in the biggest games, he played his best. So I think, you know, that's the quarterback that'll fit that type of mold. And then, you know, you look at Jimmy G, where can he go? That'll really throw basically tomorrow night in terms of an uproar, in terms of these teams possibly jockeying for a starting quarterback.
And then, Joe, you know, the trickle-down effect of, we know the first 3 picks are going to be quarterbacks. It seems like now we know who will be occupying those 3 spots as well. What are we doing with Lance and with Fields? I mean, Justin Fields now goes from the favorite to be the 3rd pick to an over-under draft position, Joe, of 7.5.
It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. And, you know, the epilepsy story broke a little bit late, right after his second pro day. That was out there, Kevin, you know, and they asked Ryan Day, you know, did it affect his playmaking ability? Did it affect his ability to process and break down game film? It didn't. He was the second best quarterback entering college football last year, actually progressed in terms of completion percentage, took his team to a national championship. I know it was a limited sample size, but still played played lights out against Clemson and played very well against Alabama, and yet this kid possibly could be the fifth overall quarterback taken in the first round is just mind-boggling to me. To me, he is the second-best quarterback in this draft. He's battle-tested, and if we're breaking down Trey Lance and Justin Fields, to me, it's not even close. Justin Fields has proven he can do it on a big stage. That's not to take away from Trey Lance, but Justin Fields did it in Columbus against some of the best teams in the nation.
Yep, great point there. I also wanted to ask you about the Patriots, because we're not sure what they're going to do at the QB position. There's been some reports that they're linked to the Panthers, possibly trading up. If they do trade up, which team do you see them trading with?
I think that could be Detroit, too, in that seven position, you know, right before Denver, because we know Denver might be in the market to back up or challenge Drew Lock, so you want to get ahead of them. I don't know if Matt Rule will trade to the New England Patriots. There's some ties there. I think he likes where he has, you know, position right there. I think it's more Detroit. You have Jared Goff. You need a number of different playmakers offensively and defensively. That could be the position that the Patriots get themselves in, or if they really want to, you know, give up a lot, do they trade up with Atlanta in that fourth position? If they really like a quarterback that they have their eye on, don't be surprised if they don't pull the trigger with the Falcons.
You know, Joe, there's something I wanted to just ask you on from a standpoint of the mindset from some of these teams. Because you think about the NBA draft. I know we're a ways away from it. But Davion Mitchell's tournament performance locked him up going inside that lottery, maybe top 10. Why in the world is it that Fields going to a national championship and Devonta Smith winning a Heisman seemingly has not impacted these guys at all? Like, the last of the elite wide receivers is Devonta Smith, and the last of the quarterbacks might be Justin Fields. Is there any reason to you why teams are not valuing that as much as you would usually think?
It's intriguing, Kevin, because I'm always conflicted with this, because I watch these players each and every Saturday and watch, you know, games and watch them perform or non-perform. And yet, because they have a good pro day or because they wow a GM or a scout in terms of an individual performance, these players skyrocket up on boards. And I'm with you. I'm a believer. Listen, I don't care about what the player does in practice as long as he's intense. I want to see what he does, you know, between the white lines every Saturday, and whether he steps up. Does he take plays off? Does he lead his team and make those players around him better, especially at the quarterback position? And how does he play in big games? You know, we can turn to Zach Wilson. Never knocked off his arch rival, Utah. You know, that's a huge concern for me. When he stepped up and when he played Power 5 competition, especially in 2019, he struggled. Biggest game, you know, last year against Coastal Carolina, he didn't get that victory. They were close. But, you know, if you're a generational talent, if you're that guy that's going to be in top five pick in the NFL, you find a way to will your team to victory. And that's why I think Justin Fields has the type of resume that some of these other quarterbacks don't. And in your point about Devontae Smith, I think he's clearly a top five pick. It's just that has he plateaued prior to his performance? Jaylen Waddle is a five-tool type of wide receiver. He was the playmaker that can take the top off an opposing defense at any given time. That's not to take away from Smith. There are two different types of wide receivers. Smith is more like Marvin Harrison, slow and steady, but Waddle's that Tyreek Hill type of playmaker. You never know when he can take it to the house.
And I want to switch it back, Joe, to some of the other rumors that we've been hearing. So Kevin and I, for the last couple of weeks, have been talking about some of these betting markets being correlated. One, for example, is the Eagles linked to Michigan's Quiddy Pay and reports saying it's possible he could be their number 12 overall pick. Well, in the FanDuel Sportsbook, he's plus 500 to be the first player drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles. But then if you go to the position of the Philadelphia Eagles' first drafted player, you have defensive linemen at 13-1. Would you look at some of these markets, think about how they're correlated, and bet on which market has the best value?
Yeah, I do that with the wide receiver market. You know, you take a look at what team, you know, has them valued, and then FanDuel did a fantastic job in terms of exact order. So that's a way to approach it. That's a great point, Aaron, in terms of how teams have these players, you know, stacked on in terms of their potential big board. I'll say this about the Philadelphia Eagles. don't be shocked if Micah Parsons is there. He's an interesting pick because played at Penn State. He's a big inside linebacker. And when you look at just Philadelphia overall, they allowed 125 rushing yards per game. That was ranked around 16th or 17th in the NFL. There's a need there. He's a playmaker, runs a 4.39. I like Kwity Paye, but I don't think he's an elite defensive end in this draft. I'm sorry. You look at Michigan players over the last couple of years, Chase Winovich, Taco Charlton, Rashawn Gary, good, not elite. So to take a first round, especially a 12th round selection on a Michigan defensive player, I'm a little leery in terms of that assessment.
I'll tell you what, though, after that assessment, since it would be an underwhelming pick, it makes it sound even more likely that the Eagles will draft Kwity Paye because they keep making bad picks. But, Joe, you mentioned that exact order market. Four different variations, first four picks, first four wideouts, the running backs. Which of these markets, and even if there's multiple of them, are you looking to play in? Because I know there's some big plus numbers out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I took the wide receiver market. That one with Chase Waddle, Devontae Smith, Terrence Marshall, or Rashad Bateman, whichever way you want to slice it. I think, you know, can it be where Jalen Waddle sneaks up on Jamar Chase? Wouldn't shock me, right? Henry Ruggs was the first running wide receiver taken last year in terms of running the 4.2. So speed kills, and how these teams assess these wide receivers. Do they want to play the slot? Do they want a playmaker like Tyreek Kill? Do they want a Michael Thomas type of wide receiver that would fit Bateman, that would fit Terrence Marshall, that type of size on the perimeter? So I think that's how you approach it. I'm on a couple of those markets though, Kev. That one with Jamar Chase, I believe it's Chase Waddle, Devontae Smith, and Bateman. I'm on that one, and I'm on the one where it's Chase Waddle, Devontae Smith, and Terrence Marshall over Bateman. I keep an eye out for Terrence Marshall. I think he's a player that can actually be third wide receiver taken. So keep an eye out for that market.
And Joe, I know you love the wide receiver markets. Are there any favorite players or teams in particular that you want to make sure to keep an eye on in terms of this draft?
Well, players, Travis Etienne, I think he's the first running back taken. He's an Alvin Kamara type of player. Now, his total right now got pushed back up, plus 155. I think you keep an eye out for him. I'm a Dolphin fan, so that's a team that I'm going to be critical of the upcoming draft. Also, Denver. Keep an eye out for that pick because, you know, FanDuel put up Denver's selection. They have Trey Lance slightly ahead of Justin Fields. Well, if you're Denver and Justin Fields and Trey Lance are staring you both in the face, why not take a shot on Justin Fields at plus 320? I think that's great value, guys.
And to pull back to the running backs for a second there, they also have some exact markets, Etienne, Harris, and then Williams is plus 340. Williams all of a sudden getting some first-round buzz. Joe, only about 30 seconds left. Do you think there's a chance we see three running backs come off of the board in round number one?
I don't know about three, Kevin. Now, Clyde Edwards-Helaire snuck in for Kansas City last year. The problem with Javonte Williams, in terms of all these pro days, he ran a very slow 4.51. So with everybody blazing at 4.3 and 4.4, he's the one guy that ran a 4.51. I think that knocks him into the second round.
All right, Joe, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Do you have any super great plans for the NFL draft? What are you going to be doing tomorrow night watching it?
I'm going to be locked and loaded here, guys, on Sports Grid, on Sirius, 8 to 12 midnight covering the first round. Should be huge, huge impact and entertainment, guys.
So make sure to stay and watch him tomorrow night. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line for Kevin Walsh. I'm Aaron Dolan. Now, yesterday, Major League Baseball underdogs went 8-6 with Phillies Cardinals closing pick'em upsets by the Diamondbacks, Rockies, Reds, Indians, Rangers, Tigers, Blue Jays, and Red Sox. Unders went 10-5. Kev, it's now time to get to our hero of the night.
a lot of good options here on a Wednesday. A part of me wanted to just give it to Dwayne Casey again so we could see that tremendous photo that our graphics producer Steve found. The smile that he had seemed like someone who really understood how good their ATS number was despite being an awful team. But I couldn't go back to Dwayne Casey. That really would have been ridiculous. Giannis, a legitimate honorable mention. But yesterday in Major League Baseball, a very deserving Aaron Judge brings home Hero of the Night honors for hitting a home run in the third inning. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, is that all it takes, a home run? There's plenty of people that hit a home run. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit three of them in one game. But we had talked about yesterday betting Aaron Judge every game of this series to hit a home run. He has dominated at Camden Yards. Only once has he shown up to Baltimore for a series and left without a home run. He has homered in almost as many games as he's played there. It is just tremendous stuff from Judge in Baltimore, and it's a plus 300 number that he was able to cash yesterday to hit that home run. So Judge, Camden Yards, hitting bombs, we appreciate that. Also, he's probably not going to play the rest of the series because the big man's always hurt. So he cashed the ticket, and now you have to never bet it again, or at least not until he's back in Camden Yards. Aaron Judge to hit a home run, plus 300. That nabs him Hero of the Night honors.
Love it. And of course, we love when we give you some insight the day before. And then, of course, that bet hits, of course, being over plus 300 odds. Great for him. Great Hero of the Night. Stay with us here on the early line. Coming up in our next hour, we're talking some NBA.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.
This. John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.